In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born. Христос рождається. Амінь. Христос є нате. I know the rest of them. Кричун тарачит. Kala Christugena. Arabic, what is it, Peter?
Al-Masih
Wulida. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this beautiful feast. I want to read a short word from one of the greatest ascetics of the church, St. Isaac the Syrian, a great man of prayer who loved the feasts, but especially this feast. He was a poet of the church. Listen to what he wrote. He said this about the Feast of Nativity. This Christmas day bestowed peace on the whole world, so let no one threaten another. This is the day of the most gentle one. Let no one be cruel. This is the day of the humble one. Let no one be proud. Now is the day of joy. Let us not seek revenge. Now is the day of goodwill. Let us not be mean. In this day of peace, let us not be conquered by anger. Today the rich, the bountiful, impoverished himself for our sake. So, rich one, invite the poor to your table. Today we receive a gift for which we did not ask. So let us give alms to those who implore and beg us. The present day casts open the heavenly doors to our unworthy prayers. Let us cast open our door to those who ask our forgiveness. Today, the divine being took upon himself the seal of our humanity in order for us to be decorated by the seal of his divinity. How beautiful those words. Just a small portion of his poetry, the spiritual hymns of St. Isaac the Syrian. Brothers and sisters, we know the story well. We know the plot line at least well. We know 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, that small city, we know there was no room in the inn. The Panagia, the Holy Virgin, and Joseph, she was with child and nowhere to go. And most people think it was in a manger in a stable. The ancient tradition by far is that it wasn't a manger but in a cave. In a cave where the shepherds lived and a place where they kept their animals, right, protected. And so he was born as a spirit secretly in a cave, right? That day, the living God put into a manger where animals eat dirty. We know about this. And we know that a star guided these wise men. These wise men were doing what? They were kings. They worshipped the stars. They were brilliant men. They worshipped the stars in the Tropari, if you listen. Those who worship the stars were taught by a star to worship thee, the dayspring from on high. So they were taken from venerating and worshiping the creation to venerating and worshiping the Creator himself, he who made the stars and everything. The fathers of the church speak so beautifully about this feast. St. John Chrysostom says, you know what that star was? It was an angel. That star was an angel guiding them. Because they had pure hearts and they were seeking God, even though they're pagans. When a person is seeking God, no matter if they're a pagan or a Jew, whatever they are, if a person is truly and genuinely seeking the living God at all expense, at the expense of their comfort, their life, anything, he will lead them. Just as he led them by an angel, this star leads every human being who is desiring to know Christ, to know the true God. Like the Alaskans and the pagan Alaskans tribes who worship the creation. When St. Innocent came there and St. Herman said, it's beautiful what you do, worshiping creation, but let's go deeper. They didn't thrash their beliefs. They said, it's noble, but let's go deeper. How about you worship not just the stuff, but the eternal one who created it and made everything. And you know what? All of them responded to this day. The majority of those tribes are Orthodox Christians to this day. Faithful, humble people. Who were led very similarly as these three wise men. So we know the story, brothers and sisters. We know about the virgin birth. We know about these things. The question is, how is it going to change our life? The Father is always very clear. All too often the feasts become kind of neat. Oh, that's so neat. This is so pretty. This red and these vestments and the singing. And they're an end in themselves. Right? Oh, it's so beautiful that Jesus was a baby. That's so meek and mild. Wow. It was so beautiful that God was humble 2,000 years ago. And then we leave church on Pascha or Christmas and we're not changed. We want to be changed. I think every human being wants to be changed. So what happens? It's because the feast days don't enter our everyday life. As long as they're part of some cultural neatness or cuteness or kind of just a part of our culture, it only goes so deep. It might go to our sentimentality of our heart, the fathers say. But Christ has to be born in the depths of your heart. In real life. This feast, brothers and sisters, has to change how you act at work, how you act at home, how you act when your wife is angry with you and you want to lash out. Is Christ born in your heart to say, I'm so frustrated, I think I'm right, but I'm going to go and make a prostration to my wife and say, forgive me. I'm going to be the gentle one. I'm going to imitate the humble, gentle Christ. Does Christ, is he born in your heart when you go to work and someone insults you? Or this hard work you did in a project, they dismiss it? Is he born in your heart then? Are you humble then? The God of all becomes the most vulnerable and was beaten and spit on and mocked, and we can't take a little bit of criticism. He came, the poor one was made, the rich one was made poor to make us rich, and we walk out of the church and disdain a homeless guy. These poor folks were sleeping outside, freezing in the snow, and we judge them. Oh, this person's that, they were drunk, they don't know how to use money. Yeah, if they knew how to manage money, they wouldn't be in the problem in the first place. Most of them are mentally ill. Mental illness is a terrible affliction. We have a terrible homeless problem. Someone told me, thank God, Father, we get a new church, we'll be out in the suburbs and away from that. I said, if you were my kid, I would slap you. You know why? How dare you say that? St. John Chrysostom says, it's going to be sad for us when we're not here all the time. Because when you have the poor in your midst, you have Christ. Right? As you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. So we go through these motions, maybe we make nice food for today, and it's going to be glorious. But we're like a shell. We do the outward things. And inside, Christ isn't in there. But he wants to be in there. But you know what? It's a basic thing. You can't, you know, go through these motions and then still be a jerk and think that you're a Christian. And that's how we're miserable. I heard so many beautiful confessions this week. It might have been the greatest week in confessions in my whole life. What do I mean by great? That I didn't hear lots of sins? No, actually. I heard lots of sins. Lots of heartache. Lots of tears, but you know what I saw? A genuine desire for change. When you're confessing before God, we're not lukewarm when we have tears like that. At least we know we're cold as ice. But the fire of God has a place to go in that heart, brothers and sisters. We have a beautiful community, a beautiful parish. We're so diverse. We have Americans who are seeking God, Russians, Romanians, Bulgarians, Georgians, everybody, every walk of life in this parish. And it speaks to that same thing. There's neither Greek nor Jew. Every human heart is seeking Christ. But how worthless it is. You know, lots of people have nice choirs. Mormon Tabernacle Choir is nicer than ours in some ways, I'm sure. Just give them better music, right? I'm sure people are nicer than us. I mean, all these other things. What makes the church, the body of Christ, different? It's because these cultural celebrations, our singing, our Christmas carols, our eating, our drinking, all of our time we're going to do together today, it's, again, based and rooted on something deep. And I'm going to confess to you that it's not deep enough in me yet. And I want it to be. And a big temptation is to fast and struggle to fast and go, again, another fast. I didn't want to become the man I wanted to be. Well, I'll have some ham. That'll be good. Well, anyway, it's here. New Year's here. And we numb ourselves with food or drink or stuff. And we forget the desire of our hearts. I want to end by telling you something very beautiful. The church can change you. You know, I don't understand the depression of this world. I wonder, our heartaches are so deep, and we're all so different. That sounds like an obvious statement, but brothers and sisters, I can only tell you how unique this world is. As a priest, I hear confessions of a person, and I go, they think so differently than me. I don't know how to help them in a human way. You know, I've done counseling and things. I don't have a human solution for this person. What do I do? And we stand before God in the mystery of confession, the mystery of the priesthood. The person's crying, we're crying, and we cry out to God. And in a mysterious way, Christ is born in the heart of that person, and they walk away healed. There's no other place in the world like it. There's nothing that can replace this miracle of Christ and his church, the hospital of our souls. I read it to you before. If it bugs you, you heard it before, then your heart is hard. Forgive me. It's one of my favorite stories of how nativity is real. We're going to have great food and drink and friends and everything like this, but there are many freezing. There are many in prison camps who are really, really struggling. And during the prison camps in Romania, there's a great story. It was a Protestant man. His name was Richard Wurmbrand. He was a Protestant pastor and lived in Romania. And he, along with all the Orthodox, was there in the prison camp. And it was Christmas time. And there were many priests and bishops and monks and abbots who were all there together in the prison camp. This is what he says about his time. Mind you, not an Orthodox guy. He said, "When I was in jail, I fell very ill, terribly ill. I had tuberculosis of the whole surface of both lungs. 4 of my vertebrae were attacked by the infection. I had intestinal tuberculosis, diabetes, heart failure, jaundice, and so many sicknesses I can't remember. I was dying. On my right hand was a priest by the name of Father Iscu. He was an abbot of a monastery. This man, perhaps in his 40s, had been so tortured that he was near to death. But his face was serene. He spoke about his hope of heaven, about his love for Christ, about his faith. In this hell, he radiated joy. To the left of me was the communist torturer who had tortured this priest almost to death." So the very man who tortured this priest, now he was in prison as well on the other side. He had been arrested and turned on by his own comrades. "Don't believe the newspapers when they say the communists hated only Christians or Jews. It's not true. They simply hate everybody. They hate Christians, Jews, anti-Semites. They hate Christians. They hate everybody. One communist even hates the other communist. And they quarrel. And next thing you know, one of their own was sitting next to me, dying." And so it happened that the communist torturer who had tortured this dear priest nearly to death had been himself tortured nearly to death by his own comrades. And he was dying near me, and his soul was in agony. During the night, this communist sufferer would say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I can't die. I've committed such terrible crimes." "And then I saw a miracle," he says. "I saw the agonized priest who couldn't move, who was in the death's doorstep. He called two of the prisoners to himself in a whisper voice. And leaning on their shoulders, slowly, slowly, in agony, he limped, carried past my bed. And he sat on the bedside of this murderer. And he caressed his head. I'll never forget this gesture. I watched a murdered man caressing his murderer. That is love. He found a caress for him. The priest said to the man, 'You are young. You did not know what you were doing. But I love you with all my heart.'" But he didn't just say the words. You can say love. It's an easy word of 4 letters. But he really loved. And he said again, "I love you with all my heart." Then he went on, "If I, who am a sinner, can love you so much, imagine Christ, who is love incarnate, how much he loves you, dear one. And all the Christians whom you have tortured, know this, they forgive you, and they love you, and Christ loves you. He wishes you to be saved much more than you wish to be saved. You wonder if your sins can be forgiven. He wishes to forgive your sins more than you wish your sins to be forgiven. He desires for you to be with him in heaven much more than you wish to be in heaven with him. He is love. You only need, my son, to turn to him and repent." So in this prison cell, in which there was no possibility of privacy, the man says, "I overheard the confession of the murderer to the murdered. Life is more thrilling than a novel. No novelist has ever written such a beautiful thing. The murdered, near to death, received the confession of the murderer. The murderer gave absolution, read the prayer of forgiveness over his own murderer. They prayed together, embraced each other, and the priest hobbled back to his bed. And both men died that night. And it wasn't any night, it was Christmas Eve. But it wasn't a Christmas Eve in which we simply remember that 2,000 years ago, a neat thing happened. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It was a Christmas feast during which Jesus was born in the heart of a communist murderer. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for myself is that today on this feast, 2017 Nativity, that I, who am much worse than this man, that Christ can look past my idiocy, look past my laziness, look past all my sin. He who loves us more than we love ourselves, who wants us to be in paradise more than we want to be there, that he would be born. If he can be born in the heart of this man, that he can find a way to be born in this empty cave, this hard heart as well. Brothers and sisters, this is the greatest joy of life. May our celebration today be this celebration, that in this sinful heart, in your sinful hearts, you allow Christ to come in there and to be born anew and to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is born. Amen.